Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper, Pencil, Dice. Again, we find our heroes in the lair of the Dread Crowns. The zombie apocalypse has apparently come here, and they took care of one of the first waves of zombies they came across, but we can be absolutely certain there will be more. So, before we jump into the action this week, let's go around and introduce everyone who's in our group. So, first of all, Hup, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Mark. I'm playing Hup Bottomsworth, a human rogue.
All right. And how is Hup handling, like, how does he look handling the zombie apocalypse around him?
He seems actually quite calm. He's quite interested in the prize they're looking for, which is that cabinet. So he's kind of looking around quite a bit for that. Try to be very attentive to the environment.
All right. And up next, we will go with Jethal.
Yeah, my name's Jethal. I'm playing Jethal. My name is Chris. And I'm playing Jethal, who's a wizard, you know, doing wizardy things.
You're a wizard, Jethal.
I'm a wizard, Jethal. So,
it's a ping pong.
Ping pong. How is
Jethal? Pinball. Can't even say words tonight.
how is Jethal handling zombies?
I mean, the zombies isn't too big a deal. The this woman that just showed up and says that they know me is really kind of freaking me out a little bit when I don't know them. So,
all right, up next we will go with Tegan.
My name is Chris also. I'm the sweeter sounding Chris, I think. I don't know how to distinguish me from the other Chris. I'm playing Tegan Stumble Duck, and I'm freaked out about the woman, but I'm more worried about getting this gem into somebody's body before someone tries to put it into the blood crown. So I'm really trying to get this moving so that we can get our guide.
All right. And last but not least is Aether.
My name's Brian. I am playing Aether Solaris. He is a elf fighter. Aether is currently calmly picking bits and pieces of zombie off of his armor after he obliterated one and tossed its guts all over the place. And he's trying to get his armor cleaned up a little bit pretty calmly.
Jeez, you don't have to, you know, brag.
It's kind of gross.
It was like a live action Beat Saber game going on, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
So as our party did allude to, there was a mysterious woman who showed up at the end of the last episode and seemed to indicate, definitively indicated that she knew who the group was. So we'll jump back into that really quick. Again, just to remind everyone, she's wearing a black robe, or she was wearing a black robe. She still is wearing it, but she has the hood pulled back, and she introduced herself. You guys do notice, at least to Hup and to Tegan, she looks like an elf. However, Jethal and Aether can tell, being elves themselves, that she is not a full elf. She's likely a half or maybe a three quarters elf.
Ooh, might be a tick against her.
Hey, elves aren't bad.
I never said elves were bad.
Once he kind of goes around the group, and she doesn't recognize Hup, but she pointed at Jethal first and said, okay, so you're Jethal. The next point's over Aether, says you're Aether, and you're Tegan, and I think that's all right. And she looks directly at Hup and goes, and who are you?
Well, I'm Hup.
Oh, you're Hup. Okay,
nice
good.
To meet you.
That means perfect. Good. I'm in time then. All right. So, have you guys gotten the stone yet?
Yes, we have the stone. We were just about ready to put it into a dead body to...
Oh, you have the bloodstone, so you're on your way out?
We do not have the bloodstone.
We have the other stone.
Oh. What other stone?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Before we tell her anymore, who are you?
So that's complicated. I can't tell you what my true name is, but you can call me Duskwalker.
Why can't you tell us your real name?
She walks over directly up to you, Jethal, throws her arms around you and gives you a big hug, and it seems like a very like honest hug. And she says, "It's good to finally see you again."
I'm like,
but
I know you don't know who you are.
I know you don't know who I am, and but trust me, I can't tell you who I am. It's mostly for your safety.
Is this your daughter?
Oh God, daughter.
Must be your daughter.
That's impossible.
Okay, I don't care who she is. We need to get this stone in the body and get to Rothenfuss, the Doomahickey, so that we can get the bloodstone.
I'm the DM of this campaign, and I don't even know what you're talking about there.
Let's get the stone in the body so that we can give it to the, or so that the magic dude's little zombie dude can guide us to where the bloodstone is at.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just kind of like standing here, not moving, just kind of not understanding what's going on right now.
You know, the wizard Rothenfuss, whatever his name was.
His name was Rollos, in case
there he goes. Taking
notes. No, I get that. I'm just standing here, not moving because of she hugged me and I don't know who she is and I'm a little bit taken aback.
All right. So that's what Jethal's doing. Tegan, what are you doing right now?
I'm trying to get the gem from Hup so that we can go animate the body.
Okay. So how do you ask Hup for it?
Hup, can I have the stone? I'm going to go animate the body from the other room. You can stay here and talk to the weird lady in the hood.
Absolutely. I'll hold it just above his reach, which is about... Oh. No, I'll toss the stone to him.
Dang.
Oh. Man, it's cold.
So he tosses the stone to you, and you bobble it a little bit, but you catch it before it hits the ground.
Sweet. That's acrobatics right there. Yeah, buddy. All right, I go running off south.
Okay. So while Tegan goes off to go find the body, the other three of you are still continuing to talk to this woman who's identified herself as Duskwalker.
Like dusk, like evening, right?
Correct. And walker as in what you do with your legs.
So
That's how she explains them.
So is her first name Dusk and her last name Walker, or
that is how I yes. You may call me Dusk if you'd like.
Okay.
So, Ms. Walker.
Yes.
So, you say she's magical looking. What does that mean? Like, she's got...
No. She's not magical looking. She appeared...
Magically.
Magically.
Gotcha. So, she's... Looks elvish to me. She looks elvish. She's probably full-blood elvish.
She looks more elvish than most of the half-elves you've seen. And, you know, not being an elf yourself, you know, she looks like an elf as far as you can tell.
Sure.
They
all look the same.
She looks like an elf as far as you can tell. there's tiny little nuances, like the shape and pointiness of her ears and, you know, the exact skin tone she has that, you know, people like Jethal and Aether can tell that she's not quite an elf.
Yep. And she looks like an adventurer of some sort because she's got weapons and a cloak.
She's got weapons and she's got a cloak and she's got, as far as you can,
like, might have things hidden inside of them that, you know, might be worth of some value.
It's not a backpack as much as it is a messenger bag. It kind of hangs off of one shoulder, but she has the strap kind of over the opposite shoulder from the bag that is hanging on.
I'm not sure if she's an elf though, because I haven't seen her at the meetings, so I don't really trust that.
Oh yeah,
meetings.
I come back to what she said, and I ask her, what did you mean by Hup is still here?
Well, obviously I'm still
here. Or you made it, or I should say, you made it in time.
I would love to explain that, but I can't.
I think...
It seems to me because
explain
we're on time. We have plenty of time to get this dreadstone. Right? Meanwhile, is the combat still... Do we still hear the combat to the north? And
there is still combat. West? It seems to have actually started to settle down, as far as you can tell.
Okay.
And then I'll ask, so do you know something about what we're trying to do here?
Oh, I know you're here for the Bloodstone.
Do you know the way, do you know how to get to the Bloodstone? Which way do we go? You seem to know quite a bit about this area.
So, and she like pulls open her messenger bag, rifles through it and goes, yeah, here. And she hands you a map.
Nice. Of this compound or of
like- Of the compound.
Do we have to say magic words in order to get like things to appear?
On the map?
Yep.
No, the map just works. I mean, it's a written
mischief
map.
Managed.
not really that well managed because it's just a map.
Marauder's map, right? So which way do we go to like the head, which way on the map is the like the most likely place where they would put something of value?
Well, it's actually just labeled. To the left,
black X right here.
The funny thing is it's written out. And the other interesting thing is, hold on, so it's written out, and let's see, that's your roll, and that is Aether's roll. So you guys are looking at the map, and Hup and Jethal are just poring over the map trying to figure out, and it's pretty obviously labeled exactly where things are. There's two different treasure rooms, and then there's the one of the treasure rooms says gemstone here.
I mean, I understand that Jethal's pretty educated and he knows how to read, but does Hup know how to read?
Yes, everyone has literacy by default. So the other thing in this, I was rolling perception for everyone. Aether happens to kind of peer over their shoulders and recognizes that the word gemstone here is written in his handwriting.
And I'm sorry, who's handwriting?
Aether's.
Oh.
So do you say anything about this Aether?
I'm very confused by it, but
what are you confused by? What's confusing?
I could understand why you guys can't read it, so I don't really say anything.
I mean, I can read it. I just don't. Obviously, I'm not going to recognize that it's your handwriting.
Yeah, only Aether recognizes that, and if he doesn't say anything, no one else knows.
Yeah. We need to go to this spot where it says gemstone here.
To the woman, I ask, where did you get this map? How did this is like amazingly accurate?
It is. I mean,
we don't know if it's completely accurate yet. We
have a map. All I can tell you is a map like this could only be written by someone who's been here before.
So you've been here before?
No, I haven't.
So who gave you the map?
You'll find out.
Out with a woman.
We will cut here and we will jump over to Tegan, who has now encountered a body of a Dread Crowns person.
Okay. I don't know exact instructions. So is there any orifice, like hole that I can shove this like crystal down?
I mean, most human bodies have several orifices that take your pick, really.
In the nose. Okay.
In the nose.
It's big, so I'll just put it in the mouth.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
I'm not putting it in the nose. It's too big.
You put it in the mouth, and it appears that nothing happens.
Oh, nuts. There was something else I was supposed to do. Smack him around.
All right. You smacked it, smacked the body around. You accidentally knocked the gemstone out of the mouth, and it kind of tinkles on the ground as it rolls away a little bit. But the gemstone seems unharmed.
Oh, crud. Let me put it on top of its head. Give it like a noogie with it, like on top. Just kind of scratch it a little bit.
All right. As you're putting it on its head and giving it a noogie, you wear off a little bit of a bald patch on the corpse. But but you also happen to brush it right along the forehead, at which point it locks into place on its forehead. And okay. Immediately the eyes open up and there are like they glow with sort of this pinkish, then greenish, then bluish energy as the body sort of seems to rise off the ground, not as it's standing up, but just it's just literally being lifted off the ground by an unseen force. And it finally reaches a standing position and looks at you and goes, "All right. First of all, how far are you in the plan? And two, where are the others?"
The others are in a room just north, and we're out of the dungeon and we're trying to find our way to where the Bloodstone is.
Okay.
Well, let's go north. I'll show you. I'll take you to the others.
I have some information about where the Bloodstone might be, but let's head that way and see if we can figure out. I don't really know enough of this place to know exactly where I'm at, but once we move around, I might be able to figure out where we're at and help guide us there.
All right. Well, let's go get with the others. So we run. Go running back.
Okay. So jumping back to the others. So yeah, I really can't explain exactly where I got this map. I know that really sounds bad, but trust me, you will know the answer in good time.
Are you like a kleptomaniac and you don't know exactly who you stole it from?
Oh, no, I would never steal, ever. That's not at all my thing. No, I would never, ever steal.
You seem awfully sketchy for someone that wouldn't steal.
You know, I wish I could tell you everything that I know, but I can't.
I'm gonna turn up the old help charm and try to convince her that she could tell me.
All right, trustworthy. Go ahead and roll me a diplomacy check.
Twenty modified.
So yeah, she seems like she's almost about to tell you and then realizes what she's about to say and stops again. So she's like, "Oh yeah, it was a gift from..." Wait, no, stop. I can't tell you. I already told you I can't tell you exactly
how you do
about this. at about this time, Tegan and a corpse with glowing blue eyes walks up.
Damn it, Tegan, I had her to tell us.
I brought Rothenfuss.
Rallos.
I brought Rallos.
That's four times I've corrected you.
I want Tony to start calling him Russ.
Just call him Rolos. You know, you unwrap them, you eat them, you know.
Raul. Ah, that's Raul.
Ah.
Rallos. Raul.
I think we need a replacement gnome. Anyway, so... All right, so it looks like you're all gathered here, and it looks like you've already encountered some of the undead that I had created. So,
are yours?
That was the plan.
We had discussed the plan. And who's this? And she goes, "Hi, I'm Duskwalker." Huh. Okay. None of you guys told me she was going to be here.
We didn't know.
"Hey, what's that in your hand?" And he points to the map.
"Oh, yeah, she gave us a map to, where we need to go."
"Sweet, let's go."
"We think it might be trapped. Tegan, you should carry it."
"I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but maybe."
Tegan gets a quick glance at the map, and it just has like this room circled on the map, and it just says gemstone here.
Does it have like a girly man type signature, like handwriting on it or anything like that?
Yeah, it's not written in like calligraphy or anything like that. But as far as you can tell, based upon where you figure that you're at, so looking at the map, there's a few different things that you can figure out. To the north and east is where like the that's where the kitchens are, where most of like the servants work here. The servants' quarters is further to the north, and to the west is the direction of the gemstone.
To the west is the gemstone.
To the west.
I was trying to guess to the north. So to the west.
So
I guess we go west.
Gentlemen, I think
we should go to the west.
Yes. I think we should trust this Duskwalker Sylvan Ranger and make our way west to where the map says things are. I think we shouldn't.
I appreciated that reference there, Brian.
All right, let's go.
Gonna head westward.
Why are you so quick to trust?
She seems honest to me.
Heck, she's a elf. Why wouldn't you trust a full elf?
I don't sense a deception from her, and this looks to be a better option than no option at all. So let's go, I say.
All right.
Okay.
So yeah. Someone can look for traps on the way. Who's our rogue?
Careful. Don't cut your feet on this broken base.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Great. Now, in Pathfinder 2E, you don't have to be a rogue to do trap finding. It's just a perception check rather than a thievery check.
That is correct. It's a thievery check to disarm the trap, but it is a perception to find it. And furthermore, there is no restriction on what you can and can't find, whether you're a rogue or not. Rogues just gain some bonuses to it, depending on what options they chose at character creation.
Cool.
So I will actually lead the way trying to look for traps. I guess that's a good idea.
So what is your marching order? You have six of you now. You have Duskwalker, Ralos, and the four of you. So what is the marching order you guys are going with?
I will lead the way as Aethir, being the meat shield.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, isn't Hup in front doing the...
Nope, I think it's a great marching order.
Let the rogue look for traps, dude.
I mean, that's fine, whatever.
I mean, we don't have to be... Or right on top of it to see a trap per se.
Are there any indications that there are traps along the way?
Give me a perception check if you're looking for them.
What do I mean on the map?
It does not list any traps on the map.
Gotcha. Okay. So these dwarves, whoever made this map, are obviously not indicators of traps.
Totally. Yeah, they decide to deceptively leave all the maps off there.
Yep. And I would basically keep, every time I reference the map, I call it the Dwarven map.
The Dwarven map. I would probably want to put just whatever her name is between Duskwalker. Sure.
Duskwalker.
Duskwalker. I would want to be behind her. Just kind of keeping an eye on her, I guess, a little bit, and also trying to figure out who she is, maybe.
So it is a 10-foot hallway. You could walk side by side in sets of three, or in sets of two, so three sets of two. So from what I can see so far, it looks like Aether and Hup are wanting to take point, and I'm guessing Jethal and Duskwalker are in the middle, and that would leave Tegan and... Ralos in the back.
Raul.
Yes, in the back. Raul the vampire, yeah.
I'm going to run a video camera on Aether to see if he gets hit by any traps or anything along the way.
All right. So, a couple things. Let's see. Did you roll your perception already?
No.
No, I was talking to Hup. Because Hup was finding traps.
Whoever's in front.
Oh, that's right.
Whoever is looking for traps.
I'm looking for traps, 24.
Okay. You find no traps. You do, however, find zombies.
Oh, so, excellent.
Hooray. Perception.
So I will reveal that area. Additionally, let's see. One, two. So Jethal Tegan. Actually, it's just Jethal and Tegan happen to hear a loud noise coming from behind at the same time. So go ahead and put yourselves, because I assume you would have all more or less come together, so that way you weren't splitting yourselves apart.
I would stay 5 feet back from where they were.
Okay.
From the front.
I'm going to grab.
So if this is where we ended, or this is where we, I guess, heard the sound, this is where I would be.
Okay. So there is Rallus and
Rallus, what does he look like? Looks like a
zombie.
Is it a zombie?
I mean, he's a zombie.
He looks like that guy from Marvel movies where they got the stone in his little...
Oh, Vision?
Oh, Ultron or whatever?
I think you're talking about Vision, right? He's got the stone in his forehead.
I don't watch many DC movies, so I don't know.
You're going to trigger so many people.
We are going to have so many letters from people after that one.
Oh, man.
On behalf of Mark, I officially apologize to all listeners.
Yeah.
I always confuse that with Star Trek. So.
Oh, God.
Oh, hey.
May the Force be with you, right?
May the Force be with Gandalf. All right. So anyway, let's you guys proceed forward, and you do see some zombies coming up the hallway. And as soon as you guys start walking, they kind of seem to like react to the noise. One of them drops a disembodied arm and runs forward with it, wielding it almost like a club. But from behind, you also hear a sound, and he comes up, or a large, and by large, I mean absolutely large. Guy comes up. He is about probably 12 feet tall. He has horns on his face. He has like a cow-like head. Horns coming out of the sides of his head, wielding two swords. Both are size large longs or short swords. He looks at you guys and goes, You're lucky Lady Two Swords isn't here. You'd be dead already. Not sure how you did all this, but you did all this. Now you die.
So is this like the Minotaur dude we saw earlier?
He's the Minotaur dude who was laughing at you while you were in the...
Oh, crud, dude.
Is he wearing a muumuu?
He's
wearing a muumuu.
All right. So... at this point in time, let's go ahead and roll initiative.
We're so hosed.
I think my dice are broken.
I think mine are too.
All right. First of all, his.
Did y'all roll natural ones? That's ridiculous.
I got a two.
I might have.
Why is it red if you rolled on two?
Nah, I rolled. You rolled a one too.
Yeah, both of you rolled a one.
Yep.
It's great. At least I rolled a two. Jeez.
Because a two is so much better.
All right. So I'm just adding you guys all to the initiative chart here. So first of all, Hup, what was your initiative?
I rolled a 7.
Up has a 7. All right. Up next is Aether. A capital 7. Okay. So, Aether, what was your initiative?
15.
Okay. And up, then we'll go with Tegan. What was your initiative?
I got a 6.
6. And Jethal.
I also got a 6.
Which of you guys has the higher bonus?
I have a +5.
I have a +4.
Okay.
So Tegan goes last. There's this big Minotaur dude coming after us.
Okay, let me add in there the rest of the NPCs initiative. And let's see who goes first. Hey, look, it's the Minotaur.
Really? I wonder why.
Oh, that's you got way.
How's that possible?
It was nice knowing you guys. I'll see you on the flip side.
Oh, I forgot to add the other two in.
Other two zombies?
No, the other two NPCs that are with you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Dustwalker
and
him.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and for Rallos.
What was Swiffer's?
29.
23. Nice.
So, Duskwalker goes, you know, she's probably going to stab you if you actually call her Swiffer. Okay. So,
hey, Swiffers are kind of amazing. They have a magnetic personality. They just attract stuff.
Uh-huh. So, all right, so she is going to jump forward and kind of hold her swords at the ready, and she like takes one sword and kind of rubs it over the other, and they kind of both spark and glow slightly. Or rubs the dagger over the short sword, and they both the dagger and the sword glow, and she yells to the rest of you, "Get behind me!"
Hup notes.
Okay.
Hup notes that she's got really awesome weapons.
Tegan notes that he's really big.
Rallo seems like he's perfectly okay with getting behind her, and he walks over, carefully walking over the broken pottery.
Don't catch
and foot. And he holds out one hand, and this zombie here glows with the same color as his eyes, or that zombie's eyes glow with the same color as his eyes, and that is his turn. Up next is the Minotaur, who is going to run forward and lower his head and charge full force into Duskwalker.
Duskwalker. Dun, dun, dun.
And he misses. He rolls a 3 and misses on his attack.
Excellent.
Whoa, that's a lot of attack.
So, she like kind of as he's charging up, he kind of lowers his head, looks at the ground, charges forward, and she just kind of like jumps up, plants one foot on his forehead, and kind of does a backflip and knocks him backwards a little bit. And looks at him with holding both swords and kind of like licks one hand.
Well, you trailed off there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, she as she flips back off of his head, she holds her swords back out and kind of like licks one and kind of has a little bit of a grin on her face and goes, "It's been a while."
Okay,
don't you know, woman?
Up next is Aether.
Let me see here. I think I'm going to delay my turn until I see what the zombies do. So okay. I'm going to watch each one of the zombies and see what they do.
Okay. The one with I put an aura on the one that is glowing right now, or whose eyes are glowing. All right. So Aether is delaying his action. So the zombies go on initiative 4. So you're going to delay till after 4?
Yep. Okay. I'm going to delay until after the first zombie goes.
Got it. All right. Okay. Sounds good. Up next is Hup.
Hup is going to... So they're right now Aether and Rallos is... Rallos, right?
Rallos, yes.
Are heading the zombies, right? So I'm going to kind of go backtrack towards Mr. Minotaur Boy.
Okay.
And make sure I call him that, Mr. Minotaur Boy. And so I'm going to use a move action to that, and then I'm going to use my rapier to attack him.
Okay. So, all right.
So I've got a question. Sure. He's got a large sword. Do they do attacks of opportunity in Pathfinder 2E?
Okay, so that's a good question. So there is attacks of opportunity in Pathfinder, but for the most part, the vast majority of creatures and characters, for that matter, do not get attacks of opportunity. it's for example, for characters, only the fighter has access to attacks of opportunity of all the classes.
Okay.
Every other class in game does not. There are some monsters similar to the fighter who do have attacks of opportunity, but those are few and far between.
Cool.
So, I mean, you're not sure if this one does, but in all likelihood, he probably doesn't.
Okay.
Sweet.
Okay, so go ahead and move yourself out wherever you're going to move there, Hup.
I can move 25. I'll move right to there.
Okay. And then you're going to do the double slash, you said?
Yeah, I'll do a twin feint. Right.
Okay. All right. So go ahead and roll the first one. Okay.
13.
13 is not a hit.
Are you sure? That seems
I am absolutely certain.
And the second one is a 24 minus 5.
Okay. And with the bonus that you gain from that, because I believe he's flat-footed against you
yes.
from the first attack, that does hit him.
Awesome. So that will do a total of 1 point of damage.
Don't you get to add sneak attack in as well?
Oh, and I get to do it. Yeah, the D6, right?
You get to do a D6, and also don't forget to add your dexterity modifier to damage too, because that's part of your racket that you chose at the beginning of the game.
Oh, that's correct. So it's actually a 5 plus a 4 more.
So total of 9?
9, yep. Is he dead?
He is not dead.
Okay.
Good try. All right, so that's 2 actions to do the twin feint, and it was 1 action to move, so I believe that's all your actions,
that
correct?
That is my actions, yes.
All right. Then after you goes Jethal.
Yeah. I don't like this big guy. I think I want to do a... I think I want to do a command. Use command on him.
On who?
On the Minotaur.
Okay. Let
me fetch you some coffees.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Is there a save DC against that?
There is. So it'd be an 18.
Okay.
That's a will save.
He is. You affect him.
What
was your command?
Is it a failure or a critical failure?
It is not a critical failure, just a failure.
I was going to command him to drop his swords.
Okay, and
hang on, sorry.
Tell him to drop the tough guy act.
So I'm going to tell him to drop his weapons.
Okay.
So on a failure,
first action on its
first
turn.
Action.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good.
And that's 2, and then I will, cast shield on myself.
Okay. Sounds good. Is that all your actions?
Yep, that's all 3. All
right. Up next is Tegan.
All right. My first action is actually going to be communicating. I don't know how many actions this takes, but I'm going to ask Shmigas, either in my mind or out loud, maybe even out loud, just because it'd be funnier. What's the best thing to, what do you know about Minotaurs or something like that? Just something like fire. Does fire affect Minotaurs or something like that?
His answer to that is fire affects Minotaurs the same way it affects everything else. But the one thing to watch out about a Minotaur is watch out for its horns and never try to trap it in a maze.
Thanks. All right, I'm going to fireball.
Or do trap it in a maze.
I'm going to pull off one of the extra large fireballs, and I'm going to toss it. It's a 20-foot area effect. So okay. I'm going to toss it 5, 10. So right there.
Right where?
I don't know if it's showing up on the screen.
If you click and hold, it shows up on the screen. There you go.
So that'll be 5, 10, 15, 20. So it shouldn't hit anybody else.
Okay. So you, yeah, you throw it there and go ahead and roll your damage. And what's the, I believe the save DC on that is 14, I believe.
No, it should be my DC, not the necklace's DC, right?
It's based on the magic item itself.
Yep.
27.
So you're throwing the bead behind behind him?
Yeah.
So 27 damage, you said?
No, 27 DC.
Is that right?
That's what I have written down from the from when I asked you about the item. Oh, because it's the item we got out of the book.
Really high.
That does
Because it's the fireball necklace wasn't like the first ranking. It was the third ranking fireball. Remember, we paid
500 gold
or 1,000 gold for it.
Give me a second here. Let me find it really quick.
Pretty sure it's, let's see, roll damage.
Because which of the balls are you using?
The 3d10. Should be able to do it to like that. No,
yeah,
that's
DC
not right.
At 27.
Yeah.
Necklace of Fireballs 3. It's 1d6.
Yep.
2d6 and 2d6 with a DC of 27.
So he does not pass the DC.
How do you roll 3d10? How do you roll 3d10?
He rolls /r / 3d10 like that. So.
Ah, there we go.
So you do 11 damage to him.
Sweet.
Wow. That was really low.
What?
Yikes.
But what does it mean by when it says for Necklace of Fireballs 3, 1 10d6, 2 8d6, does it mean that it's
each bead is different?
Gotcha.
Oh,
yeah.
So you weren't supposed to roll 3d10. I don't know where you got that from.
What does it say?
10d6.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
That's a totally different number.
Roll 10.
Well, it's a which one he's using, right?
He's using the biggest
using
one,
the big
which
one.
Is the only copy of that's on there.
Okay. There we go. 44.
All right.
That's a lot better.
Okay. Much better.
Yeah.
Like four times better.
All right. Up next. Is that your only action this turn?
No, that would be just a
single
action.
I'm going
to hit. That's just one action, right?
Well, I had to talk to Shmigish.
So I was reading about Necklace of Fireballs. It takes one action to activate the bead, but that doesn't actually give you the ability to throw it as part of the activation. So then you throw it.
Okay.
As an interaction action. So then it's a second action to throw it.
Yeah, and I talked to Shmigish, so that's three. Okay.
Well, actually, talking doesn't cost an action typically, as long as it's not a lot of talking.
Oh, sorry.
So you still have one more action if you want it.
Yeah, I can do.
Can you throw two at the same time? Like, one's really well thrown, the other one's that weird flop arms.
You have two choices. You are allowed to activate another one, and then as a free action, drop it at your feet.
No, thanks. I appreciate that.
So I'll if you want to throw two balls, you could throw one and then drop the other one.
Well, I think I'll do shield. I'm good. Thanks. I appreciate that. And that's my turn.
All right. Up next goes a zombie. In fact, the first zombie that activates is the one that is glowing blue. And he turns around and hits the zombie next to him.
That seems normal.
That does seem normal. And he rolls a 23 overall and hits the other zombie.
Pretty well, yep.
Critically hitting them, actually.
Excellent.
And yeah, he just punches the other zombie's jaw off. And then after him goes Aether.
I will delay actions until for the next zombie.
After the next zombie? Okay, the next zombie goes, which is the one that got punched. And that one runs up and just completely ignores the zombie in front of him and runs up and attacks Aether.
Okay. Does the other zombie get an attack of opportunity?
It is not one of the monster types that has attacks of opportunity, so it does not. So it will run up and its first attack It will roll a 37.
Yep, that hits.
Almost hit him.
Is that a critical hit?
Is it 10 or more?
10 or more.
Yeah, that's a critical hit.
Okay. So it punches you for 14 damage.
Okay.
So then after that, Aether, you were holding your action?
Yep. Now after it is done with that, I'm going to punch him back.
All right.
So sword action to attack. So let me see here. A long sword.
Okay.
Does a 20 hit?
A 20 does hit.
Okay. So that's 7 damage, slashing.
Okay.
And then I'll take a second action to attack.
First of all, that actually finishes that one off.
Okay. All right. Let me see how far am I away from this Minotaur. All right. I'm going to, for one action, I'm going to move back into the hallway here.
Okay.
One. And then I'll ready my shield.
All right. Sounds good. And then after that goes the other two zombies. One will attack Ralos, and one will attack Aether. So the one on Aether, does a 19 hit your armor class?
It does not.
And then the one on Ralos, a 15 does not hit his armor class. I'm sorry, no, a 15 does hit his armor class.
I was going to say, that's a buffed up zombie.
And does 4 damage to Ralos.
Oh, poor Ralos.
Poor Ralos.
And Ralos actually looks like he doesn't take damage well, because he's really just an animated corpse right now.
Yep.
And he just kind of like looks over at Aether and glares at him. He's like, protect me. All right. So up next goes... let's see here.
Duskwalker?
Duskwalker, yep. Okay, so her first attack. Does not hit the, or I'm sorry, no, does hit the Minotaur. And does 6. And does a grand total of 10 damage. All right. And then after that, she attacks with her offhand weapon. Ooh. And doesn't crit, but still hits. And does another 10 damage.
Excellent.
After that goes Ralos, who takes his turn, holds his hand out, and just kind of squeezes his hand inward, at which point that zombie that was glowing just explodes in a magnificent array of gore and guts.
Ew.
All right. And then he steps back into the room and behind Aether.
Oh, Nets, that's where I was going. That's where I was going.
And up next goes the Minotaur. And he first of all, he drops his weapons. Then he reaches down, picks them back up again. And based on the feat he has, he actually can pick both up as a single action.
Oh, man.
And nice. As a free action, he turns, like, he just, like, starts, like, steam starts rising off of his skin. He looks, and you swear you see blood in his eyes, and his muscles start bulging bigger, and he almost, you know, it's almost like he grows a few inches. Just, he looks angrier now.
Oh, God. Time to go.
And he pretty much just stares at you and says, "I may die today, but you will die as well." And he's about to take his next action square at Hup's face. But we're running a little bit long right now, so we will see how that attack resolves next time.
What? God. You can't do that. That's my face we're talking about.
Well, that's Hup's face, actually.
Hup's face.
Oh, Hup's face. Okay, never mind. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, you're good.
Until he goes behind. Through Hup's face, and then that's the problem. But we'll get to that. So we're going to resume this combat next time, and now that there is now an enraged goblin standing before the party.
Goblin? Enraged, oh, what? Gosh.
Where's the goblin?
That's a hell of a goblin. I mean, Minotaur. Oh, dude. All right. And, but yeah, listeners, again, check us out on Facebook, Discord, reach out if you have questions. We'll have to see where they end up next time, if this Minotaur is just going to wipe the floor with them, or...
Hopefully we don't die.
Hopefully. We'll have to see, but... we'll catch you guys next time on Paper Pencil Dice. Keep gaming, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Come check us out on our website, paperpencildice.com, or come visit us on Facebook. Leave us any feedback or questions you might have. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper Pencil Dice.